This is The Gaggle with David Helfenbach.
This week on The Gaggle, we have on Charles Burson. Charles Burson was Tennessee Attorney General, White House Counsel and Chief of Staff to Vice President Al Gore, General Counsel and Executive Vice President at Monsanto, and Senior Professor of Practice at Washington University Law School. Now he is a photographer, taking pictures all around the world and the United States. It is a pleasure to have you on, Professor Charles Burson. Welcome to The Gaggle.
Well, thanks, David. My former student.
I'd love to first ask you about your time as Attorney General and then your time working at the White House for Vice President Al Gore. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like to be an Attorney General and then how you got to work for the Vice President of the United States?
Yeah, being Attorney General was a phenomenal experience. I served for a little over 8 years and served as President of the National Attorneys General Association. Unlike most states, the track to becoming Attorney General in Tennessee is not through a popular election. It's a unique system where the state Supreme Court actually selects the Attorney General, and they serve for terms of 8 years. So it created a little different dynamic for me. It gave me a great deal of freedom. You tend to have less of policy agendas, but you tend to serve the whole state. You serve really both Republican and Democratic legislatures and state office holders. I was able to serve under Governor McWhorter, who was a Democrat, and Governor Sundquist, who was a Republican. It was a great, great experience. Yeah. And then Al Gore and I met back in 1968 when he came down to Memphis to visit and take some summer courses. And I'll never forget, I was helping a Democrat seek election from the 9th Congressional District. And Al stopped by the office, and we spent an hour or so or more talking, spent most of the afternoon talking. And that was the beginning of our friendship, and it continued on through his race for the Senate, his first presidential race in 1988, and then my going to Washington with him in 1997.
What does it mean to be White House counsel? What did you do as White House counsel?
Well, in this particular instance, we had to fend off the investigations that came out of the 1996 election. And so that was, there are a lot of other things you get involved in, the policy matters you get involved in. But from my role as counsel, I really was setting up the defense for the investigations regarding both fundraising, and there was incident which received a lot of notoriety at the time regarding whether a particular function at a Buddhist temple was a fundraiser or not. But these were kind of manufactured scandals that the Republicans went after, and I spent probably most of my first couple of years as counsel dealing with those issues. And then as chief of staff, function shift. I think John Podesta, who was President Clinton's chief of staff, and I came on at about the same time in our roles as chief of staff. And he did a terrific job for President Clinton.
For your role as chief of staff, were you more about long-term planning, day-to-day planning, managing all the other staffers? What did your daily or weekly routine look like?
Yeah, the daily regime was, you were responsible. I was responsible for the office, and as the campaign developed, I was kind of, it became the pivot between the campaign, our office, and also the West Wing. And I would say as chief of staff, I was less involved with, obviously, the council functions, and more involved with the day-to-day planning and coordination with the administration of our respective policy agendas and helping to coordinate the vice president's schedule and agendas with that of the president.
Did you always want to be a lawyer?
Oh, I think, David, the answer to that would be no. I was always on the track to be a lawyer, but quite frankly, when I went to law school, I really didn't have in mind practicing law. I actually had in mind politics. And I think the way it turned out, the law came first, and politics and government ended up coming second in my career.
When you went into private practice, which you did actually before you went to the White House and before you were Tennessee Attorney General, and when you worked in Monsanto, can you describe a little bit about how public service is different than your work in private practice and how your role is different?
Yeah, I mean, it was very interesting, and this is one of the things that is really both in terms of the corporate service and in terms of my government service, not related to being Attorney General. So in private practice, I did litigation, and one of the main things, you know, I learned is litigating, you don't talk about your case. You don't get out in public and talk about it. You don't try it in the newspapers. You try it in court. And so I was very kind of, I would say, press shy in that regard. And when I became Attorney General, one of your functions is really to be out there in public and be taking public stances and talking to the public and explaining your positions in our various cases and policy matters and our opinions. So that took some getting used to. The difference kind of in the and that followed through less so at the White House, where I was, you know, not the public spokesman. So, again, that was less being out in front. It was most important, obviously, for the principal, in this case, Vice President Gore, to be out in front. And then in the corporate world, that came after the White House. And really very little public exposure. I did have some, obviously, Montana. Had interesting and challenging issues for me as the general counsel. And so I did have to get out in public some there, and we had to talk about more a public strategy, quite frankly, than most companies, because we had products which were in the news.
What was the most interesting or most gratifying case that you tried as Attorney General of Tennessee?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I was fortunate enough to argue before the U.S. Supreme Court four times, and I actually personally handled the school funding case in Tennessee before the Tennessee state courts. But I guess the most interesting to me, the most gratifying was a case I tried before the Supreme Court called Burson v. Freeman, and it was just kind of, you know, right down my wheelhouse. It had to do with elections, and it had to do with campaign free zones in the polling place, and I think it was probably my best argument, and it was a challenging case, you know, the First Amendment case. And one of the first cases where the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, found that the state's interest in the integrity of elections trumped the First Amendment in speech. Justice Blackmun wrote the opinion. And every time one argued before the U.S. Supreme Court, it was a unique and honored experience. But that was probably one in which I had the most fun and which was most gratifying to me.
What courses did you teach when you were a law professor at Washington University?
So at Washington University, I taught, really created a course called The Legacy of Bush v. Gore. In fact, there's a little story behind that, other than the case and my experience with the case. And I also taught corporations, which was Primarily, it was a large lecture course that dealt with corporate governance. And it was an exciting time to teach that course because there was a lot of ferment in corporate governance. But on the legacy of Bush v. Gore, I was having lunch after I announced I was going to retire from Montana. I was having lunch with Dean Severud, who was dean of the law school at the time, and there had been an op-ed in the New York Times about Bush v. Gore being the case that the Supreme Court justices would just as soon not come up and would be relegated to the dustbin of history, that some of the Supreme Court justices would have liked that. And I was sitting at lunch with Dean Severud, and he asked me what I was going to do after leaving Montana. And I said, I'd like to teach. And he said, well, what would you like to teach? And I said, I think I would like to teach the legacy of Bush v. Gore. And I handed him the op-ed and explained why. And the next fall, I had my seminar, The Legacy of Bush v. Gore. And it was a really, really gratifying, very difficult first year or two. I thought it was so painful because I had to relive that whole period. And it was painful, but I got over that, and I think that the course developed in really a wonderful way.
Let's pivot to this year's election. Is this year's election going to be a close one?
Well, maybe there's a 10% chance it's going to be close, but I don't think it's – I think that I would put very high odds on that it's going to be an overwhelming victory for our future president, Hillary Clinton.
What reasons make you think that she is going to win at this stage of the game?
Well, at this stage of the game, I think a combination of her strengths and Mr. Trump's weaknesses. I think that he squandered the opportunity maybe to make this close shortly after the conventions. Just in a week or two, he just kind of seemed to have lost it and went off on tangents that the public reacted, reinforced what the public thought about him in terms of his temperament and his instincts. And I think Senator Clinton has, Secretary Clinton, future President Clinton, has really maintained a steady keel despite the attacks that were coming her way. I think she was very steady, very responsible, and went on a tough attack on him. And I think pretty well put the election away. It's most likely she put the election away before September.
Let's talk about what you are doing now. Right now you are taking photographs. What exactly are you taking photographs of?
It's almost autobiographical. I am really enjoying this. I'm doing it pursuant to a program at Anderson Ranch in Snowmass, Colorado. And Anderson Ranch is almost an artist colony, but the courses, photography that I've taken there, and the current course, it's not really a course. It's a program I'm in, being mentored by James Estrin of the New York Times at Kashi, a very noted international photojournalist. And they're mentoring 16 of us. Each one is taking a different project. This is going to go for 3 summers. We'll meet each summer at Anderson Ranch, and they will mentor us during the year on the projects. And my project is really taking photographs of the arc of the campaign, looking at not the candidates, but looking at particularly young volunteers and young staffers that are really in the gristmill of the campaign doing the work. The way my peers came up, the way I came up, and some of them will move on to jobs in Washington. Some of them will move into the law practice or business or some other pursuit. So it's kind of photographing that all the way through inauguration and afterwards. And it's been a great thing, and I'm getting out on the campaign trail with knocking on doors, beginning in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, with my wife, Lenny, in the cold and snow. And that goes back a long way for us. We've been doing that for years. And then I covered the caucuses in Colorado. I went to Wisconsin, down to New York, and, just following right along and having fun. And then at the end of it, I'm looking for probably to have an exhibition show of the some of the photographs and hopefully then a photo journal book.
You have a wife also who is an artist. What have you learned from her to take away in your photographs as you become an artist yourself?
Oh, gosh, she's the one that got me into photography. She's the one that got me to start taking the courses, and it was really putting it on the line. I was studying a field that I really knew virtually nothing about. And so I've learned a lot about from her on how to look at things. And probably one of the most important things, the need to look at other photographers' work, look at it and get ideas, take some of that work and get ideas. But she's been having an artist as a wife has really helped me in my photography, composition, moral encouragement, the whole bit. And hopefully we're going to have a joint show at some point.
So believe it or not, we are almost at 20 minutes. And the final question I want to ask you is if someone in college or younger wanted to come up to you and ask how they could become the next Charles Burson, what answer would you have for them?
Well, you know, that's an interesting, great question. And I used to kind of end my course with it, and it might sound a little trite, but it was kind of follow your passion, conquer your fears, and enjoy the journey. And I really think if you do that, you're going to have an exciting life. There's so many opportunities, so much out there. I think it's going to be a great and challenging time for young people today. And that's what I would tell them. Don't be afraid to make a change. Don't be afraid to take a step back. Have the courage of your convictions and follow your passions.
Charles Burson, it was a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, David.